It's a little bit before noon, and that means it is time for Not For Kids Only. It is a segment here at KHEM where we look at organizations within our community whose aim is to help children. And this year, because it is CASA's silver anniversary, we are focusing on the foster system. Today, I'm airing an interview that I ended up having last week with Michelle Stevens, who is the Deputy Director of Children and Family Services. Well, I am sitting here with Michelle Stevens, who is the Deputy Director of Child Welfare Services for the Department of Health and Human Services. Michelle, can you briefly let me know some of the services that you oversee within child welfare?
Sure. In Child Welfare Services, we have a continuum of services and programs. At the beginning of the continuum is emergency response, and so that's the hotline that most folks know, the 445-6180 number to report suspected child abuse or neglect or concerns about families around that and children. From there, it's the social workers that respond to those reports and assess child safety in that program, as well as when we open a case with a family and provide ongoing support and services. We have a program called Family Maintenance and Family Reunification Permanency Planning for children that aren't able to return home. And then we also have an adoptions program, and we also have extended foster care for youth that are in the foster care system past their 18th birthday. They can opt in to remain a non-minor dependent until they're 21 and receive the support and services to get them to become more independent and go to school, get employment, things like that. We also have a placement unit of social workers that help support foster parents, as well as the social workers that work with kids. We have clerical staff and a group of other programs that provide services to families as well. But those are the core programs.
So you're a really busy person.
Very busy. So are the staff. All the social workers, the social service aides, our vocational assistants, our clerical staff, everybody in between, our supervisors, managers, everybody's very busy.
You have California Partners for Permanency, a 5-year federally funded project.
California Partners for Permanency is a California project specifically for the child welfare system. It originated out of the federal government in 2010. They had initiated wanting to look at the disproportionate outcomes for children and youth from Native American, African American, and other disproportionate minority groups, LGBTQ communities, and so forth. And so they really wanted to look at why are outcomes for these particular populations so disproportionate compared to other ethnic groups. And so we need to improve that. It's across the country as well. So the state of California Department of Social Services applied for the grant, received it, so they are the recipients, and they asked California counties, child welfare counties, who would be interested in participating. So our county opted in, so to speak, or requested, and they chose Humboldt County as well as Fresno, Santa Clara, and one of the district offices in Los Angeles County. And so, right, and so, and little Humboldt County in the very northern of California, and the reason for that is because we have a large disproportionate amount of Native American children in our foster care system here in Humboldt County compared to the overall population of Humboldt County. It's very disproportionate, and there's a lot of reasons for that. We know that we needed to take a look at our system to improve that and change that for tribal families and maintain tribal culture. The Indian Child Welfare Act has been around for quite some time, but we, as well as the state and other states across the country, have struggled with adhering to that and following the regulations related to ICWA. And so we really felt that this was an important project to be part of. There's been a lot of starts and stops and bumps along the road from 2010. We've struggled with implementation. We didn't include tribes initially in the process, and that was a huge misstep for us. It's been a learning curve, and we've learned a lot from our tribal partners and tribal communities and tribal leaders around how to really be appropriate and culturally sensitive and mindful about the work that we're doing in tribal communities and with the population, the clients that we're serving. It's really important work. And so through the CAP grant, the counties that were part of CAP developed a CAP practice model. And we felt like in Humboldt County, the partners, tribal communities, and other stakeholders really felt that the model was not specific enough for Humboldt County. So we developed and made some adaptations that were really going to benefit and really be appropriate for tribal communities here in Humboldt County. And so out of that, the Humboldt practice model was born. And so The practice model itself is really built on a set of values and practice behaviors, how we actually are with families, what we say to families, how we engage them in the different sort of programs or engagement areas that we work with tribal people, as well as a set of tools we use at different points in the child welfare continuum with families. And so it's really set on the idea that families really know themselves best and they know what they need. And we as a system, as well as individual practitioners, need to engage tribal communities and tribal people in a different way than we have. And so we've worked really hard over the last 5 years to do that. The grant ends in September of this year. We had a one-year extension for 2016. It ends federal fiscal year September this year, and we are still committed to implementing this practice model. In June of last year, we re-engaged stakeholders and our partners in a process to create a really much richer, robust implementation plan. We started with the staff that are working directly with families, and that's important, and we didn't create an infrastructure within our system to support them. And so that's part of what we've realized that we needed to do. Implementation science tells us that you can't implement a practice model without doing the infrastructural changes within your system to be able to do that. So it's pretty exciting stuff. We're really excited about how do we do that in a way that we are responsive to culture and trauma. It's about how do we engage each other in this process and how do we engage our partners in the process, in addition to how are we engaging families and how does that look when we actually are talking about you're going out to meet with a family. What do you say because of that inherent imbalance of power as a child welfare social worker or as a system, especially given the history of trauma and genocide here in Humboldt County and tribal communities. So we know we represent that in a government bureaucratic agency. And so how can we do that in the most responsive way possible that's appropriate?
What are some of the ways that you do that in practice?
One way is that we have a protocol now where when we first get a call about a family, if the reporting party believes that they may be of Native American ancestry, eligible for enrollment or enrolled, we're calling the tribe to check on enrollment status and engaging the tribal social workers in their social service agencies on what information they know. Are they aware of these concerns? What additional information might they have? And that plays into the criteria around assigning for an assessment, investigation, or not. When we are going out to meet with a family, tribal social workers are contacted, and we're working on consistency to be there and do a joint visit with the social workers. And then from there, an ongoing case is opened, and we're providing ongoing services with the family, whether it's court-ordered services or voluntary services. The tribe is there along the way, discussing case plan ideas, sharing with us kind of what they know about the family and what they think might work in engaging the family, the history of the family, and who's out there as extended family that we may not know about, and that the parents might be very isolated and disconnected. And so how can we work with the tribe to reconnect them back to culture? And then it's in the way that we are one-on-one with a client, it's really about transparency and honesty and trying to be as clear about what the process is as possible and being responsive to the trauma of all of that. It's providing services to tribal people that are culturally responsive. So it's not just the cookie cutter counseling services that the county provides. It's contracting with cultural healers and medicine men and practitioners in tribal communities to provide services to clients that are culturally responsive in that way.
It sounds like you're helping out the parents a lot in this way, then that also in turn helps out the children?
Yes. And so children obviously are going to be, you know, there's a trauma element there too. And if they're removed from their parents, if they're so unsafe that they have to be removed from their parents, that's traumatic, obviously. And so how are we responding to that? So we do provide counseling services and you know, we partner with other agencies. If the child is already connected to, or the tribe prefers that they go to United Indian Health Services, for example. So the child is receiving services as well as the parents. And really, it's about building a support network. We're not going to be there forever. We can't be there forever. We have strict timelines, right? The state and federal mandates, we have strict timelines. And so parents are, it's hard to address the things that brought the kids into care, that made it unsafe. And so how do we do that in a way that gives the best outcomes that we can. So yes, children will receive services, parents receive services. It's about building a support network, their support network, reconnecting them to people, everybody coming to the table to talk about what they feel is going to be the best thing that's going to support them and getting their kids returned to them.
Which is super duper important. And how is this going to change whenever the money from the grant runs out?
We made a commitment very early on that regardless of the grant, that this is critical work that we need to do. Humboldt as a county, as a community, this is important. It's not just tribal communities and Department of Health and Human Services, but it's collectively, it's all of our responsibility. It's families that are in our schools. They're our neighbors. They live in our communities that are struggling. The disparities around poverty and privilege as well is a whole nother factor. You know, we see a lot of substance abuse here in Humboldt County, and unfortunately, that's the threshold typically that it's the tipping point for families. What the community feels that they need to call child welfare and make a report because they're that worried.
And not just in tribal communities,
exactly.
It's everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. Right. I mean, we just focused on that because of the disproportionate amount. I mean, if you look at tribal people here in Humboldt County, per capita versus other ethnicities here, and there's too many tribal children in care, and why is that? And so we wanted to take a look at what are the biases and institutional racism that goes on in our agency as well as other agencies and other partners, and it's asking all of us to take a look at that and say, how are our policies reinforcing this? How can we take a look at this to prevent this from happening?
We wanted to go ahead and quickly cover foster parent recruitment. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Right. Yes. So as I've been saying, you know, we have children coming into care when they're not safe. And so we have a need here in Humboldt County, especially given the rural nature of our county and how far away we are from big cities. It's the people in our community that really step up and provide care for kids. And so we're continually recruiting foster parents. You don't have to be the Pope to be a foster parent. That's often one of the things we hear from people who are asking or interested in being a foster parent is they say like, well, you know, I don't have a degree, or I'm a single parent, or I work full time, or things like that. And those really aren't barriers to being a foster parent. We have single parents. We have gay lesbian couples that are foster parents. We have working families that are foster parents. I mean, it's a very diverse group because we have very diverse children in our system and families in our system. So you do have to be 21 years of age or older. And there are some other qualifications, but for the most part, we really just need somebody who's committed, somebody who cares, somebody who really wants to give back to the community and who is interested in being part of our team.
And you mentioned that there's a hotline?
Yes. Our hotline for foster care recruitment is 707-499-3410, or they can email us at dhhsfoster@co.humboldt.ca.us. And I think one last point is that, you know, there's support for foster parents. We have a mentor program where current and more experienced foster parents are available to kind of take the newbies under their wing and provide them support, as well as social workers and the department ourselves offer support. Children get a stipend monthly when they're in care that goes to the foster parent. You know, about 40% of our kids right now, when they're removed from their parents, they're placed with relatives or non-related extended family or a tribally approved home. And so, you know, we really do try first and foremost to find family first and otherwise people who know the child to be a foster parent. And when we can't, you know, that's when our licensed foster homes are really important.
And people can inquire and also even go through some of the training without committing to being a foster parent.
Right, exactly. Thank you. Yeah, we do have a training program that's part of the process. They have to complete 24 hours of pre-service training. However, if they start the process and decide they don't want to, then that's up to them as well.
Okay, awesome. Well, one more time, that number is 707-499-3410. You can also email dhhsfoster@co.humboldt.ca.us. Thank you for talking to me today.
Thanks so much.
I want to sincerely thank Michelle Stevens and Humboldt County DHHS for speaking with me for this segment. I also want to thank Steve Volo. He's the executive director for Humboldt County CASA for also working with me on this program. You've been listening to Not For Kids Only on KHAM, Radio Without the Rules.